gorgeous mamas and spiritual peeps. We're here for episode 31, and today I have a special guest with us. Her name is Desiree Howard. She's a self-published author of Love Yourself, You Are Worth It, Mama 3, a 26-year-old daughter, a 23-year-old son, and also her youngest is a 14-year-old daughter. So she's going for her master's program in public administration and educational leadership, and she's a life coach for teens and women. So without further ado, let's introduce her. How are you doing today, Desiree?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. You know, just getting up this morning, you know, already getting everything in order, trying to juggle homework, breakfast, throwing laundry in, you know, just the mom things.
Yeah, I totally get it. We were talking a little bit about you before this, and I was saying how mine are all under five. I'm going to have to get some tips from you on how to raise teenagers too, because one day I'll be in that boat with all three.
Definitely.
So first, you know, why don't you tell me about your family and kind of your journey of becoming a mom? Like, what did that look like for you? Because we know motherhood is different for everybody. Everybody's journey into becoming a mom is different. So I would kind of like to know how your family got started.
Yes, absolutely. So I was actually a teen mom. I did get pregnant with my son in high school. And I did have him in October. I graduated in May, and then I did have him in October. You know, me and his dad were together for many years. We thought we were going to get married and live happily ever after. However, you know, life, you know, brings different things your way. And so it just ended up being my son and myself for many years, about 5 years. And I met my husband now. He had a daughter, and I had a son, and we have our daughter, which is 14. So yeah, there is trials and there's tribulations on the way, things that help you to form who you are as a mom, as a wife, as a person. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've had quite a few.
So you kind of have experience then in like different spectrums, because, you know, being at one point in time, you were a single mom, you know, trying to raise your son. So, and you finished school while you were still pregnant, correct?
Yeah. So I was a senior in high school graduating, and I had graduated in May, and he was born in October.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's amazing in itself. Like, you know, like a lot of people, I don't think give full credit to women that are going through that. They just think like, you know, that I don't know. Did you feel like alone during that time, or did you have a support system?
Yeah, I kind of did feel alone, you know, because it's just something, you know, I wasn't raised to, you know, have children out of wedlock. You know, it was kind of more as me like to get away, like I guess it would be like maybe like a scapegoat. My parents, you know, they both worked, you know, we lived in a nice neighborhood, we had, you know, the things, all the things, you know, our parents were I wouldn't say controlling, but they were very like, you know, watchful of us, and they, you know, didn't allow us to do a lot of things. And I kind of feel like as I was transitioning and, you know, in high school and wasn't able to do some things, I kind of felt like as I got older, you know, I resented some of that. And so that was my way of maybe perhaps lashing out or getting away from the problem.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, especially, well, because you were raised in like a religious household, right, too? Like, were your parents strict in that way, or just a different type of strict?
No, actually, we were not raised religious. I didn't get into a church until I was actually about 15 or 16. We had actually went to a local church with our dad's friend. He invited us. And so it was like my mom was at work that day, and me and my sister and my dad went along with his family to church. That was like my first encounter that I remember.
Okay. That's, so like, then you started to, so then you met your husband when now, well, then you're, That was your 26-year-old daughter when you were first pregnant, right? And then you had your son, and then you met your husband how long after?
So when I actually met my husband, he had a daughter. So that's his daughter. That's my
Okay.
son. And then we have our 14-year-old daughter. So we've been together about 18 years now.
So you're a bonus mom too now then. So as I see that that's the terminology that they use, but I mean
Yeah.
it's like so that's I'm just bringing kind of like light to it because I feel like you have the experience of different things that you've gone through in your life that other people I don't know like I guess like sometimes they think it's taboo to talk about or they don't want to bring it up and those, I feel, life experiences and challenges and tribulations, as you mentioned, like really kind of shape us. So, did that inspire you to do anything later? Because I know that you're a life coach as well. So, was that your inspiration, your children, or what? How did that come about?
Yeah, so when I had got pregnant with our daughter, I really didn't want to because when I was when I had my son, I was ended up being a single mom and I was working two jobs full time and then I was also going to college. So like he was in daycare a lot and I kind of like looked back and I, wanted to do things different because my son and daughter are 8 years apart. And so I really wanted to like be more present and home with our daughter. I really didn't want her in daycare. I kind of wanted to be around her and just be there for her. Because I see like, working parents as I was raised in a household with, parents that worked all the time. We had everything we needed, but our parents did work a lot. And so I just kind of wanted to do things different with our daughter. And so I started like, trying to like start different businesses. And I was really trying to dig in deep to see, who I was as a person. And, through all of this, my husband was actually in a car accident. And so then I had really no choice but to stay home because then I had to take care of him.
Okay. So he was in a bad car accident then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. How is he doing now?
So he's doing a little bit better now, but he actually is paralyzed. He broke his neck. So yeah, our life has completely altered. One day, a matter of fact, that night before his accident, we had went to his work to pick him up for lunch, and we just went to Farmer Boys, which is right there by his work. And our daughter was one, and he came home that night, passenger in a car, and yeah, and it was. He car accident. It was something that definitely changed our life, something that we didn't see coming. We're in our 20s, we just had our daughter, she's one, and he was going through his background of border patrol and stuff like that. So it was just, it was very eye-opening. I did go through a lot of battles as a person, but I did find Jesus. He made himself very present to me. And so that's where kind of like where my faith just completely deepened. Like I said, I did go before just once to a local church, but and I always checked the Christian box, but I really didn't understand what it was to be a Christian or what a relationship with God looked like until after my husband's accident, and we were going through all these trials and tribulations and everything.
For you personally, how do you feel that you held on to your faith so much? Because I feel like, too, when people go through traumatic events or things that, just change their whole life and alter things and adjustments and everything. Like, I mean, I'm sure at first you were, I don't know, maybe you went through different phases of what you were feeling, but can you kind of like, how do you hold up? How can you tell someone, like, what would you say to someone that's going through something? Like, how can they hold on to their faith if that's what they believe in, if they believe in God, or how can they look forward to something when they're going through such a dark time? I know that's like a really loaded question, but in your best way, like what do you think you would tell somebody else that might be going through something similar?
Yeah, so really what I was doing and I went through so many emotions. And so when his accident first happened, I wasn't following Jesus. Like, I didn't really have a relationship. It wasn't until, you know, I started drinking and my life spun out of control and I got a DUI and, you know, I ended up in jail and, you know, went through that. And that's when, you know, I, like, God revealed himself to me and I found him that way. And so what I was doing is, you know, and then I was in the hospital. And so what I was doing when I was in this, you know, little place was they gave me a Bible and I would be reading it like morning, noon and night. Like I would, you know, have breakfast, but I would always be reading my Bible front to back, front to back. I didn't understand it. I didn't always know the words to say or how to pronounce it, you know, the lineage in the Bible and, you know, what everything meant, but that's what I was just doing. And how can I explain it? It was just the Holy Spirit, you know, helping me read the word. And when I started seeing God's word established in my life, when I started seeing the fruition of his word, you know, I had no choice but to believe. How can you not believe something that you're reading and then you're seeing it?
Right.
So then you start to develop your faith. And my faith really developed by just reading, you know, and then attending church. And then I started attending church, you know, and then I got saved. I surrendered. I gave my life to Jesus, you know, and then I started getting involved in women's Bible studies, you know, and then I would always read, you know, and it's just something that has kept me, you know, for this long time. Because, I mean, how can you not believe if you're seeing these words and if you're seeing his promises being established in your life? It's not always easy, but if you have seen him come through once, you're going to see him come through twice and three times, and he's always there. It's not always when we want to, but he's always there. And it's just something that has held on to me. It's something I, you know, can't escape. He's always there, you know, even when I fall and I get mad and I'm upset. And, you know, things aren't going my way and I'm, you know, and I cry out and I'm like, God, like, I need your help. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, lead me, guide me, you know, worship your way through. I've worshiped and sung songs and, you know, worship my way through some toughest times. So to answer your question, I would say, you know, do not give up on God because he has not given up on you. You know, just read your word, be around people that, you know, can influence your faith to help you grow deeper in your faith. Do whatever you need to do to develop that personal relationship with God.
I love that. That gave me chills right now. Like, don't give up on God because he didn't give up on you. Like, that is awesome. Hey, so it looks like we're having technical glitches sometimes, I guess, but it got part of, it got the end of what you said, so, but what I was saying is that did give me chills, because it's like, you know, I think people forget that a lot, is that don't give up on God, because he didn't give up on you, and I think too, a lot of people that I've talked to are other moms, it's like, sometimes people feel like it's too late for them, or, you know, that they're so far away from God that they can't, you know, reconnect, and that's if they're spiritual or whatever they believe in, that they lost faith, they lost inspiration because they think it's a little too late. And what I've also felt though is a lot of the people that feel that way that end up on the other side, like you have, when I say the other side, like you grew from those experiences and those challenges and things that you went through, and now you are where you are at today, a lot of people don't see that yet. And then when they get there, they're like, they went through some really dark times. Most of the people that I see that are trying to inspire other people. So I guess I would say, like, you know, same thing that you're saying, is just like, people don't need to give up. They can still use their story, use their experiences to help other people, and or whatever it might be, because this podcast alone, you're inspiring people, I'm sure. So once they take a listen, I'm sure they're gonna be like, wow, like, other people feel like that too. And it's funny because I actually went out with my girlfriends yesterday to get our nails done and stuff, and we were talking about some of like the things we've gone through, and I'm pretty open, like, on my social media or like past podcasts, of things I've gone through in childhood and childhood trauma and stuff like that. And we're just saying, like, how, you know, we need to have these close gatherings more often, because sometimes people try to paint on social media like that everything's perfect, everything's fine, and you know, they have a picture perfect family, but really there's so much things going on. And not to say like, oh, post negativity or like you're having a bad day all the time or whatever, but just like to be more real and raw and authentic with yourself, so that way other people know like, hey, we're going through similar things, like we can actually be there together as a village, a community, rather than just feel alone, you know. So I'm sure though you've seen many stories or heard many stories from your time life coaching, so I know you started to tell me about that too. So after your husband had this accident, and you got closer to God, was that when you felt called, that God was calling you to do this life coaching, or did that come later?
It actually came later. So I started off as a Girl Scout leader. I was that for 10 years. Our daughter came home with a little sheet of paper. Mom, I want to be a Girl Scout. I was a Girl Scout. It touched my heart. You know, she was five. And, you know, I'm still home with hubby, you know, having to take care of him. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, that's something that she can do. I wasn't even thinking about being a leader or a co-leader or anything. And it just happened that the troop she was in, the leader didn't want to do it anymore. They're looking for a leader. They nominated me. I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but you know what? I'm going to do it because my daughter wants me to do it. And so that was important to me. And so I said, let's do this. So 10 years later, here we are. Yeah. And then, you know, I started like trying to, that's just all volunteer. And so then I was trying to, you know, help supplement income into our home. And so I did start a Proverbs 22:6. It was a little face painting business. You know, I would just go to like birthday parties and paint faces, you know, and it was something that I was starting to see, you know, like I like working with kids. I like helping to be a part of their future, you know, to impact them. So, you know, they can have a better outcome, you know, even if it's just a simple word that you're giving to them, you know, words, you know, I believe in the power of God. I believe in his word. It's life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you're using your tongue, you know, for the bad, that's what you're going to reap. But if you're using it for the good and you can uplift others, why not do it? You know, you're going to, it's life, you know? And so I was doing that. And then the Girl Scouts, and then I just started really trying to like figure out, like I knew I was called. I seen this big vision that God has given me, you know, ministering to women, to girls, and just helping them, you know, to develop their confidence, their self-worth, you know, and just walking in the full authority that God has given them. And so I did start this in 2018, you know, and just, you know, inspired by my own daughter. Because she was going through some things in elementary school, and it's just like, how, you know, how can I, you know, not, you know, or how can I bring some light to this situation, you know, and help hopefully inspire other moms and daughters to be a light as well, to uplift, to encourage each other, because as women and as girls, we need each other. We need each other. We do not need to be, you know, jealous of each other or putting each other down. We need to connect, and when we connect, we're very powerful. And so I started this, you know, program, and it's been wonderful. I have, you know, summer camps, and I have my fall classes coming up, and then I do like a little winter wonderland in January. I do like a goals thing. And it's it's in a transition right now. My long-term goal is I would like to open up a center locally right here in our city of Eastville, and just have a place where girls can learn a new skill, whether it's baking or cooking or setting some goals for herself, to have a safe place for them to go after school, for mamas and daughters, so we can, you know, go on field trips and outings, just develop that bond and that culture within, you know, our own city, and hopefully, you know, worldwide, you know. And that's my long-term goal. And so, you know, I'm just doing the steps that I need to do to make that come to fruition.
That's awesome. What is it called for the teens and the women that you do the life coaching for?
Yeah. My business that I did start in 2008, it's called Learn, Grow, Sparkle, Prosper.
Okay, I love that. Yeah, because I mean, like I said, I have three under five, and the biggest thing with my 5-year-old right now, you know, she just started school, so I've been also having to tackle like certain situations, like with even people don't think so, but in kindergarten it already started with bullying, you know, and I had to have those conversations about using your voice. And it's not mean to use your voice and be firm, but you have to stand up for yourself. And she's very, she absorbs people's energies, and she's very I don't like to say sensitive because I don't think it's the right word, but like she takes things on very strongly with emotions, and she'll feel it deeply. So I had to like start helping her to find her voice, and she is getting better. She knows her boundaries. She knows, like, I saw a lot of those things were like kind of bullet points of what you guys teach these girls. And I just love that we're empowering girls to know that, okay, Disney movies are great, but you don't need Prince Charming to, you know, you can be your own individual girl and grow up. And because we went through that phase, like, Mom, I want to marry someone because I want my Prince Charming. And I'm like, okay, well, when you're a grown up, you can look at that when you're way later, but you know what? You don't need Prince Charming. You need to be your own person, be happy, and you grow up and you get older and you can do all these amazing things. And then later on, you'll find someone that's amazing too, that like is happy for themselves, you know. So it's like hard because she's five, but at the same time, I like to have open conversations with her because I feel like I mentioned this before too. Like a lot of people think, oh, they're just kids, like they don't understand, but you know, they absorb so much and they retain so many things that if we have more open conversations and more natural conversations with them, they don't think anything of it. They just go with it and like, okay, yeah, that sounds good, you know. So, but if we make it weird and a kind of like this is uncomfortable conversation, then it will be uncomfortable for them. I mean, I'm sure you've had conversations with your own children about different things that you've had also taught with these other teen girls and, you know, with women. So, what were some of those things that you had to deal with? Like, I want to kind of go into that real quickly, and then so you have time to, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, but go into how you became a self-published author. So first, like, what are some of the hard conversations that you think that other moms might be dealing with that you had to have with your children?
Well, I do see in my group, because I had do have a private Facebook group, and a lot of moms are battling, you know, with their daughters' confidence. Mental health is a big thing right now. You know, bullying, you know, we've had to go through that in this household. And you know, you're doing the things that you need to do. You have to start building them up, you know, so when they're confronted with that, it kind of just brushes off. You know, but they are their own power. They can use their voice and they can, you know, create boundaries and say, you know, you can't talk to me this way. I'm not gonna, you know, take this from you and use their voice as their, you know, I want to say weapon, but maybe that's not the right word, but it is, you
I
know,
get it,
you
yeah.
have to use that to stand up for yourself because nobody's gonna stand up for you. And as I was teaching these other girls, and then you know, I you know, like our own daughter, you know, going through this, and you know, it kind of hit us hard. And okay, so if I'm, you know, helping these other moms, so then I had to really dig deep in to get, you know, help my daughter, and we did it, you know, and I just kept, you know, leading her and guiding her, and you know, you want to do those affirmations, you want to know who you are in Christ, because when you know who you are in Christ, you can't be wavered, you know, like, no, God says I'm his masterpiece, you know, so whatever anybody says, they can say whatever they want to say, but you know what, you know, the Lord fights for me, Exodus 14:14, and that's when you know you have to dig deep into your faith and use your words, because we live in a world where you know people aren't always kind, and unfortunately, you know, it we take some wounds, you know, even as an adult, you know, in my 40s, having my program, you know, I'm dealing with women, you know, bullying myself, you know, and I'm just like, my goodness, how are we adult women, you know, putting other women down, you know? And so I just dug deeper and harder, you know, and you know, kept my faith. And so that's what I had to, you know, keep continually doing for my daughter and the other girls as well, you know, just to not give up on themselves, to know who they are, to have those conversations. You know, if your daughter's asking you about something specific, you need to have that conversation, because chances are she's already had the conversation with somebody else at school, you know, a neighbor, somewhere where she's, you know, been. They're exposed all the time. I mean, social media, the internet, it's just, it's everywhere. So don't be afraid, mamas, to have that conversation with your daughters, whatever conversation it may be, you know, because they're learning now, 8, 9 years old. They already know a lot more than we think they know. Oh, so yeah. Not being afraid to have those conversations, because then it'll establish a great relationship with you and your daughter. She'll feel comfortable to talk to you and to come to you and to ask questions. And refrain from judgment, you know, don't judge her, just be, you know, open, you know, listen to what she has to say. You know, you may not agree with it, you may not see things, you know, the way she sees things, but she's coming to you and she's asking you these questions. And so we don't want to scare them off, I should say, you know, as they're coming to us for that type of information. We're thankful that they are coming to mom for that type of for a conversation or for, you know, something they want clarity on.
Yeah, and I think even like I was the only child growing up, but with my mom, you know, she was very open with me, so I like literally shared everything with my mom because we had such a good relationship. So just going off of what you're saying, like, you know, you really can't be afraid to have those conversations. And, you know, I think sometimes like friends in my own circle group will think like, oh, wow, you're already talking to your daughter about this or that. And like, because I really have talked about her own, you know, body boundaries and stuff like that and other things. And so she's very now getting to a point where she is vocal, and she's actually friends now with the person that was not being so nice to her in kindergarten because she stood up for herself. So you know what you're saying, it definitely, you know, building up that confidence does work, you know, when they feel empowered to speak up. And even things that she doesn't want to do, I'll go with her to talk to her coach about something, but I'll have her do the talking because I'm like, you need to use your voice. I'm right here. You're safe. You're in a safe place. Nothing's, you know, you can tell me if something's uncomfortable or if, you know, they get mad at you or whatever, you can talk to me, but you need to speak up for yourself. I can't speak for you, you know? So I think that's really powerful. Everything that you're saying is just building up the confidence in girls and women, and, women not tackling each other, you know, there can be plenty of us doing the same thing. Like, it's not going to be oversaturated. We need more women to empower others, other moms to empower other moms. So thank you for sharing all that. And then I want to, I know you have to probably go, but I just want to make sure that I include your book, because that's awesome accomplishment of being a self-published author. So how did your book come about, Love Yourself, You're Worth It?
Yeah, so it was written during COVID, honestly. I'm like, okay, I have all this time in my hands. I'm like a go-getter. Like, I need to do something, you know, and I was home, you know, working out. And I'm like, and we used to always like be out and about. So I was just like, okay, what am I going to do? I can't have any of my classes. What can I do? And I've been wanting to write a book, but I never knew how, like the steps or what to do. And so I had a friend of a friend on Facebook, and she said, you know, she's a book coach. And she was like, yeah, I'm doing, starting a class on this day. And I was like, I'm doing it. You know, I was like, I don't know if my book will come about, you know, I feel like it will, but like, sometimes I get writer's block and I don't know how exactly it's going to come out or if it's going to come out right or the way I want it to. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it because it's not going to be my first book. It's definitely not going to be my last book, you know, so, or it's gonna be my first book, but not my last book. Right. And so I was like, I'm in. So, you know, so I just every day, you know, it was like a 30-day challenge to write the book. I did. Mine took about 40 days. But I did it. Yeah. So every day I was writing.
I love that you're set a challenge because let me tell you, I've wrote like three and they're just sitting there on, in editing mode. Right now I'm doing air quotes in editing mode because they've been in editing mode for like years. And it's like, but yeah, I love that you set a 30-day challenge. So then from there, after, well, I know you said 40 days, but still you set a goal for yourself. So after those 40 days, then what happened?
So I just, published the book. I had to get my ISBN number, got the number, uploaded it to, because it's not that hard to do it through Amazon. So
Oh, okay.
yeah, it was done through there. And then I got it in the mail and I was like, wow, like I did it. I took, I had a photo shoot. I love taking pictures. So I had like a local girl,
I know I love the cover. I'll have to share that on the when I share your this podcast on social media. I'll have to share the book cover because I love
Oh,
I
thank you.
it looks so pretty. So and I love your profile picture in your Facebook, like with the colorful your like dress or skirt, like how it's like that's so pretty. Like I love how vibrant it is, because like I feel like it right now talking to you it matches your personality a lot too. So I'm like, this is awesome. But okay, so anything that well, first I want to make sure that you mentioned where can people find you? What's the best way to reach you if they want to have their daughters look into the summer programs or the life coaching for themselves? Where can they what's the best way to find you?
So I do have a Instagram. I am Desiree Howard. I'm also on Facebook, Desiree Howard. I have a Facebook group, Raising Confident Girls in Today's World, and also a Facebook page, Learn, Grow, Sparkle, Prosper.
Okay, perfect. And do you have an Instagram too or no?
I do have an Instagram. It's I am Desiree Howard.
Okay,
And
awesome.
then for the Learn, Grow, Sparkle, Prosper, it's a teen girl's life coach.
Okay, perfect. And is there anything that you would like to leave mamas with before we go?
I would just like to say, mommying, being a mama is different for everyone. So don't look at someone else's life and say, like, man, I have to do that. Because all of our children are different. I mean, even in our own home, all of our children are different. And so imagine, like, if we're comparing our daughter to another, our friend's daughter, it's like they're two different girls. They learn two different ways, and it's okay. It's really okay to raise them differently. And we don't have to understand each other to know why a certain mom is doing something this way or that way. You just got to do what's best for your girl. And when you have that mom gut, you have, in your heart, like what you need to be doing for your daughter. And sometimes, people may not agree with it, but that's fine because you're doing in your heart what you believe is best for your daughter. So I would just say, just, keep your faith. If you don't have faith and you want to come to faith, Jesus is right there waiting for you, with open arms. If you have faith and your faith is maybe dwindling away, just get back in your word. Don't give up on God because he's not giving up on you. And being a mom, just give yourself lots of grace because we all need grace. Nobody's perfect, and your children will love you regardless. We all make mistakes.
Love it. Thank you so much, Desiree. Again, this is Desiree Howard with us. And I know we unpacked so much information. So you know what? We might have her back again as another guest because this was just such a fun conversation, but also just amazing to hear your journey and your story. And I send it back to you. God bless. And I hope that, I wish your family well and all your endeavors, and I hope that you get more people to connect with you so that way you can share how much inspiration and everything that they going through and you're going through together. So thank you again, Desiree. Hope you have a good rest of a good sunny morning. So I hope you have a
Yes.
good day.
Yes. Thank you. You too. Thank you so much for
Thank
having
you.
me. God bless you and all that you're doing as well. Take care.
Thank you. God bless, mamas. Bye, everybody.
Bye.